2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
This is the MLB Daily Dispatch, brought to you by those handsome fellas over at DFSArmy.com. Hey, no, I say this all the time, but if you are not signed up with us yet, make sure you do so. Go to the website, choose one of the following the monthly or the yearly packages that we got going on here. When you do so, use the promo code podcast. It'll make things a little cheaper for you. Make sure you sign up with us today. We got the Domination Station, which is in full force already for the Players Championship for PGA. You can catch up with a little bit of basketball left before the season ends with that as well. And of course, we got NASCAR going on there for the Domination Station. Of course, you can join us in the 24/7 Slack chat that we got going on as well to work you through your problems if you hate computers and whatnot. But we are all there. Once again, DFSArmy.com. Use a promo code podcast when selecting your monthly or yearly subscriptions. I am your host, Al Walsh. 14A.Walsh is where you can find me on Twitter. Got Keith Hall joining me as always. You can find him at Boomers DFS Daddy. So a little bit of an abbreviated MLB slate, which is all right. You know, the big thing is coming up this weekend. That's, you know, that's all the our 15 game slates and whatnot. But looking forward to one more short slate here before we head to the weekend.
Yeah, weekend's usually when things kind of get a little crazier. You know, you've got Saturday where it becomes an all-day thing, and it's good to have short slates. I like short slates, and usually that's where I have the most success, as do a lot of people.
Yes.
That's why when we have these big 15-game slates, I try to – I guess the easiest way to say it is I try to eliminate games. I feel like it's easier. And, my God, did I eliminate the wrong game last night. So some things that I was on worked out. And that's kind of been the issue with it a lot. Almost cracked 200 last night and – unfortunately, it wasn't the 255 that our buddy over there at Roto Grinders put up. So,
yeah, yesterday. Now, this has been sort of like the combination issue, right? So, the last two nights, my sticks have been operating with the precision of a porn star, but it's the guy's been throwing the pitches that haven't been doing so well. The combined score between my two main slate pitchers the last two nights, minus 15. Well, Francisco Liriano took pretty much all of that on the chin for Walsh's wingmen last night, but and then Drew Pomeranz the night before. So maybe it's just a lefty issue with the guys that I'm going with. Whatever the case may be, looking to get the ship righted today. Did have some good calls with the sticks yesterday. Of course, the Dodgers ended up putting up some big stuff going on. Wasn't as heavy on the Diamondbacks, but at least I was on the right ones with Goldie and Tomas last night too. And boy, Derek Dietrich damn near coming in, 6x value there on FanDuel at the bare minimum. So that was pretty good to see. And hey, how about Chase Utley with an RBI single last night too?
Yeah.
The world must be coming to an end.
No kidding. I got a combined from Jake Lamb, Jock Peterson, and Yasiel Puig on my I think it was my best lineup. No, it wasn't my best lineup, but it was close. I got a combined 3 points. So if I go Chris Archer in my best lineup over Steven Strasburg with those bats, I pretty much win the internet. So one little move kind of cost me a little bit. So
yeah,
tis the life, right?
Yes, indeed. Yeah, I was huge on Archer yesterday, but you know, when it came down to it, I just, again, the bats looked a lot more appealing. And I thought, you know, with the way the Indians have been going against lefties, yeah. And again, I didn't really play too much yesterday because I also put some money up there in the main. So, you know, got to be a little bit sensible here at the beginning of the month. But, I don't know. We got the bad Liriano. And again, with Liriano, I mean, I pointed it out on the pod yesterday how great his numbers were at home as opposed to on the road. You know, just the Indians finally woke up, and of course they did it. You know, they're one of the teams that I've kind of been very vocal about how shitty they've been against lefties this season, calling them the new age Baltimore Orioles, but they certainly let me hear it last night.
Yeah, and, you know, we talk about how Liriano is a GPP play, and I go back and, you know, I make the same decision again. I don't think it was a bad decision. I don't think the process was bad. I just think that the outcome wasn't what we wanted. Obviously, with a minus 15, it wasn't what we wanted. But, you know, there was a group of pitchers I had, and they were all kind of around that same price point. You know, I didn't want as much Strasburg. I was about even as far as Strasburg and Liriano. But I wanted a couple shares of Maeda. But, you know, Darvish, Archer, and Salazar, I had – you know, in the majority of my lineups. And if I just would have gone Archer over everybody and just gone 100%, which I don't do a lot because it is baseball, you know, it would have really worked out. So it wasn't quite as big as it could have been. But the main thing is that, you know, we're getting closer. I'm getting closer. I've had some good hits. I've had some near misses. I'm not quite sizzling yet, but as I said in Slack, I believe it was Monday, the gas is turned on and the lighter is getting closer to the gas to create a spark.
We so, barbecuing?
Trying to get hot, trying to start to sizzle a little bit, yeah.
It is time for barbecues. I myself don't have the best grill, but I still make it work out there in the backyard. I got it going on. All right, let us get into today's slate. Remember, we started the new format this week where we're going position by position. If this is your first time tuning in for the week, welcome. And
where the hell you been all week?
Yeah, bro.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's a joke.
I've been here, but not here. You know what I mean. All right, let us begin with the pitchers tonight. You know, not exactly a very I don't even know what the hell word I'm looking for. Not a very sure night on any of these pitchers, but anyone that you see that sticks out in particular, and, you know, we'll go back and forth.
Yeah, I've got right now, currently, Michael Pineda sticks out. This Astros team is pretty hot. Not somebody I really want to pick on, so I'm probably not going to go there. I'll probably go the opposite way and hope it doesn't burn me like it has all season. I've been picking on Michael Pineda all season because he's Michael Pineda. He can blow up at any time. I'll probably split my shares, depending on what I decide I want to do later on, between Astros bats and Michael Pineda. I think Zach Greinke's in play, just because of the fact that, you know, it's the Pirates, and yeah, they suck versus right-handed pitching right now. And Zach Greinke's looked good, especially coming out of that start at Coors Field. You know, Marco Estrada's interesting. Although the Mariners are going to be getting back Nelson Cruz back in that lineup. You know, he took a couple days off because they're in a National League ballpark. Other than that, it's I'll have a couple shares of Tyler Anderson in GPPs, mainly because I know that the Dodgers have one. They suck against lefties. Yep. They're still not good against lefties. That has not changed. They are still. They're not quite as bad as they were, but they're still one of the worst on the slates as far as WOBA and ISO is concerned. They still strike out, you know, 21% of the time versus left-handed pitching. And Tyler Anderson looked good his last start, looked really good his last start. So I will go there a couple times. Not somebody that I would recommend for everybody, but I've seen what this kid is capable of doing. I know what he's capable of doing. I know what he's capable of doing against the Dodgers. We've seen it this year against the Dodgers in Coors Field. So I'm not shy about going there at all.
Yeah, Tyler Anderson's pretty interesting. He did, against the Dodgers this season. I know he did have the one decent start, but overall the numbers are going to look bad for him.
The other one was in Chavez Ravine.
The numbers are going to look bad. I mean, he is 0-2, the 6.30 ERA, but again, Anderson's a guy that he's able to keep the ball down, and just as you mentioned with the Dodgers against lefties, certainly not a team that I am scared to go against. Now, if we're looking to get a lot of bats, that could be a way that we can go. But I think for me, the top guy, and it's not even going to be in a strikeout form, but we're just talking about getting a quality start, having a good performance. I got to go with Michael Fulmer here. He's got six quality starts and six tries already. He's coming off his highest strikeout total of the season. That was against the A's his last time out. That certainly helped. That certainly helped things out a little bit there. But I think we're just talking about in terms of limiting damage and just pitching well all around. I think Fulmer's probably the top option. Not exactly priced in that upper tier with your Zach Greinke's and your Dallas Keuchels of the night. You get a little bit of savings here with Fulmer. So I think, cash games, this is probably the way to go. And, even GPPs, I think, just nailing down a solid pitcher, having that 35, 40 points is something that everybody should really strive for when going with their pitchers. And I feel like he's probably the safest option of those tonight. After that, you got a whole lot of crap shooting. I think the pitching matchup between Gerrit Cole and Zach Greinke is very interesting out in the desert. Obviously, not the best conditions for these pitchers, but we saw a guy in Kenta Maeda who might be the Asian version of Zach Greinke in terms of velocity and I guess movement on their pitches. So we know the Pirates haven't exactly been crushing the world tonight. Greinke could be a decent GPP option. Cole, even right next to him, he's been really good this season. We have seen the Diamondbacks strike out a lot. Now, a lot of these big strikeout totals have come on the road against the Diamondbacks, but I think we're probably going to see, kind of like Tugal. Now, I say this as watching the players and, have a little bit of DraftKings action going on there today, but I think, these two guys are kind of going to feed off each other, kind of like two golfers in the same pairing. Maybe coming down the stretch on a Sunday in a major or something like that. And I don't necessarily think that we're going to see an offensive explosion tonight. I think that this could be a pretty good matchup here between Cole and Greinke. When we get to the hitters later, I do have one in particular Diamondback that I like, but I'm going to save that for later. If you want to get really crazy, I mean, this is this is kind of the area where you might cringe a little bit, but I do have a little interest here in the again, two pitchers going up against each other with Derek Holland and Phil Hughes today. Phil Hughes has actually been somewhat decent. He's got three quality starts and six tries this season. He's got pretty good BVP numbers against the big boppers from the White Sox, so that's something that I'm going to take into consideration here. And then, of course, Derek Holland, he's got five quality starts and six tries this season. He's had at least six strikeouts in two of his last three starts, 2.02 ERA, 1.04 whip. I know you're not a big Derek Holland guy, but it's kind of hard to argue with the production that he's had so far this season.
No, I'm not going to argue with the production. I just don't believe in the sustainability.
Right.
He's had stretches like this before in his career, and all the money I've lost stacking against Derek Holland so far, I will make it up. I will get it back because he's not going to win. Because I'm going to go out on a limb here and say he's not going to win the Cy Young. He's not going to pitch at a 2.02 ERA the whole season. Because if he does, then he's not going to be 7-2 all season. So,
yeah, I will follow you on that bet.
I think that if Vegas gave me odds as far as Derek Holland trying to win a Cy Young, I would take the negatives on it. I just think that everybody can have good stretches and stuff like that, but unless you're a rookie, I don't. Rookies I give a little bit more leniency as to being inconsistent, But I think that everybody goes through hot streaks, and this is just one of those streaks where, you know, Holland has done a lot and a lot good, and it's worked for him. But I don't think that it's sustainable. It might not be tonight, but he will blow up.
Yeah, I find myself doing this a lot in DFS nowadays where, like, if a pitcher is really good, I find myself saying, all right, well, you know, why won't he be good today? You know, you got to kind of question everything. So kind of do the reverse engineering of that with Derek Holland, where it's like, all right, we know that he's been bad for so long, but you know, why can't he be good? And you got a couple factors here. One, you know, he's out of Texas now. He's with a new team. Now, I really haven't dug into why Holland has seen such a drastic increase in his performance. But, I mean, you got to at least think about some different things, you know, with the new team. Maybe he's got a new pitching coach. Maybe the new catchers that he's working with. Something is a lot different. I mean, the easy thing to point to is that he's not pitching in Texas anymore. But, you know, it's very impressive how he's just really turned this whole thing around in such a short amount of time.
Oh, I agree. It's impressive, and I'm all happy for him. I'm like smiles from ear to ear. But it's just, you know, we've seen this. I mean, he burst on the scene and he was like this with Texas, pitching in Texas. So it's not like we don't think that he can't do this. It's just that we've seen more of what I feel is true. Now, I'm not saying he's not a good pitcher. I'm saying that he's not as consistent as he's shown this early in the season, though. And you're right. I haven't really looked deeply into what the change is. I don't know if they changed something with his delivery. I don't know if it's the mix of the pitches that he's – you know, throwing. I don't know if he's got a better velocity, spin rate. I have not looked that deep into it. But what I have looked deep into, because now this is 2 days where he's projected to be the starter, is the fact that when you're going up against guys like Miguel Sano, Robbie Grossman, Kenis Vargas, Eduardo Escobar, Jorge Polanco, I mean, these guys can hit. And I'm willing to take a shot.
Yes, indeed. One thing that you could also look to is the addition of the Fu Manchu. He typically went with the full mustache when he was with Texas, but since his teammate Tyler, he credits Tyler Saladino with adding the Fu Manchu to the repertoire. So possibly that could be it. Something as stupid as that.
Oh yeah, it's always something like that. So.
All right, let's get to guys holding bats in their hands tonight. We'll start with the backstops, the catchers, and Buster Posey had himself quite a series over the week in New York where he hit three homers in the three games there. He's going up against Bronson Arroyo tonight, who is notoriously bad against right-handed hitters. So I'm interested to see if Buster can keep this one going, keep this streak going. So I'm going to make him my top play at catcher tonight.
Yeah, I mean, you can't argue with it. I was listening to SiriusXM Radio, and Jim Bowden said that he's swinging the bat like he did during his MVP season, and it's a swing that he hasn't seen in the last 2 years. So he thinks that a lot of it had to do with being beat up and injury and stuff like that. So if he's healthy, yeah, he's definitely the top option on the board as far as ceiling at the catcher position. You know, the second guy you got to kind of look at is, you know, Gary Sanchez going against Dallas Keuchel in Yankee Stadium, especially if he's batting that two-hole. I mean, I don't like playing Gary Sanchez because, you know, Gary Sanchez carries like a 35% base ownership percentage or a 30% base ownership percentage, but it's hard to argue the spot he's in.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about Keuchel at all. And that match
because he's in Yankee Stadium.
Indeed, indeed. But the one thing I want, like, I'm not going to go crazy on Yankees bats tonight, but one of the numbers that I wanted to point out about Keuchel is that he's actually induced 12 ground ball outs in six, at least, I should say, at least 12 ground ball outs in six of his seven starts today. So that can help him in Yankee Stadium. But again, they're not going to strike out much. And, you know, fly balls turn into trips around the bases very quick in that park. So
yeah, I think Keuchel has the, if I'm not mistaken, the third or fourth ground ball rate, highest ground ball rate of the season so far. And I mean, he's looked good. He looks healthy. He looks like he did when his Cy Young. He's a Tulsa boy. Went here to Bishop Kelly. So he always carries a fandom around these parts. But you know, he's looked really, really good, but he's also one of those guys that we like to target with bats on the road, and we play him when he's at home. Yes. The question I have is, you know, yeah, he's going up against what is projected to be, you know, a right-handed heavy lineup. You know, the only ones that I really see in there right now are, you know, Brett Gardner and Didi Gregorius as far as right-handed power bats or right-handed bats at all. But is he worth, you know, taking a couple hitters against that? I say this, you know, guys that are good about, you know, going to the opposite field. That aren't pull happy, guys like Matt Holliday, Gary Sanchez, Aaron Judge. If I'm playing Yankees, I think those are the three I want rather than the guys like Chase Headley, Starlin Castro, Chris Carter, stuff like guys like that. Now, I'm not saying that those guys can't get them as well, but I want guys that aren't afraid to go the other way and take advantage of that short porch. So.
Yeah, you know, we'll get to it. We'll get to the rest of, you know, how Keuchel's done against, or how these guys have done against Keuchel when we get to each individual position. But, you know, he's done pretty well against the Yankees over in recent memory. Let's see here with catchers. Just keeping on with that, I think, you know, Jonathan Lucroy is pretty interesting tonight for the Texas Rangers. Clayton Richard is scheduled, or he's pegged right now, is actually one of the worst pitchers on the slate. And if we take a look at Richard here over the last, what is it here? Over his last three starts, he's allowed 21 hits, 10 walks, 13 earned runs over 14 innings, which is absolutely terrible. Lucroy actually has a little bit of history here against Richard, 4-10 with two doubles and a homer. You know, the Rangers are slated for a pretty big night tonight, and, you know, we're going to be hearing a lot of their names as we go through these positions. But Jonathan Lucroy, pretty cheap there on FanDuel, too, if I'm not mistaken, $2,700. So that could be a nice way to go and then, you know, spend up elsewhere.
Yeah, they also moved him up in the order. I think he was batting sixth yesterday.
Yep.
You know, they had moved him down. You know, they're shifting a lot of – they're trying to find something that works there in Texas. There's no – the loss of Adrian Beltre in the middle of that lineup, I think, is understated. We all know the talent that he can bring, obviously, and how good of a hitter he is. But I also think that just the presence of him being in that lineup day in and day out, no matter how good Joey Gallo's been, you know, I think it's kind of understated. You know, he's a guy that keeps things moving. He's a guy that keeps things loose in the dugout, which is something that's pretty nice. I also... I don't mind Ryan Hannigan if he's going to be in the lineup today with Tyler Anderson. If I'm not mistaken, they were the guys that paired up the last time that Tyler Anderson pitched. I've got to look into it, but if I'm not mistaken, I believe that was what happened. I'm looking here. He threw 5-6. And Ryan Hannigan caught, come on, nope, yep, 5-6. he caught Tyler Anderson his last start. So maybe with the success that they've had, or that he had, you know, the last time that these two teams or these two guys hooked up, it could be where he's going to be. So I think a lot of people are going to go to maybe Yasmani Grandal if he's in the lineup. Of course, he's a switch hitter, but we like playing him from the left, or when he's swinging from the left side of the plate. And then on FanDuel, Victor Martinez. He should be back in the lineup tonight, going back into the American League ballpark.
Sure.
He's going to be batting cleanup. He's 3K. I mean, he's got power upside. He's not going to do anything else, but he's got power upside.
He's itching to get back in that lineup.
Yep. So cool. I think those are a couple other options as well.
All right. I dig it. All right. Let's move over to first baseman. And I know I said I liked a little bit of Phil Hughes tonight, but righties against Phil Hughes are the way to go. And Jose Abreu, not too bad lately. That price has certainly jumped up a bit there on FanDuel, $3,800 there for him, which is basically uncharted territory. I don't think I've ever seen him that expensive. But if I'm going to go anybody from the White Sox tonight, it's him.
Is who? Sorry?
Jose Abreu.
Yeah, he was. I didn't want to repeat exactly everything you just said, but yeah, he's he's very, very close to my top first baseman. It's a question between him and Mark Reynolds. Mark Reynolds is one of the hottest hitters in baseball right now, and whether he's 4.3K, but in tournaments nobody's gonna pay 4.3K for Mark Reynolds. So I really, really, really kind of do like that play. Obviously we've got Paul Goldschmidt, who got off the schneid last night a little bit, had a pretty decent game.
Another stolen base.
And that's what I was about to say, is, you know, he's a guy that he'll pop off with some stolen bases there. Cody Bellinger is going to be very, very popular today. He's pops off as one of the top first basemen on the slate, you know, going into Coors, but it's left on left. Now he's had some success, left on left this week, or since he's come up, but don't be surprised if he's not in that lineup. Always like Brandon Belt. I know he's a lefty going against Bronson Arroyo, but him, Joey Votto. It's a lot of your regular guys, but maybe interest in Justin Smoke? He gets chased to DeJong in Toronto, right, and he's actually been hitting the ball pretty well. He's going to be probably close to that 4 or 5 spot. I don't know. He's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you probably could interest me. Obviously, I'm going to go, more the names that we were talking about. You mentioned Brandon Belt. He's actually got some solid BVP against Arroyo, 6-14 with 2 dongs. 2 walks in there. So that could work. I like the way the Giants kind of closed that series out against the Mets yesterday. A nice come from behind win. I mean, granted, it cost my boy Tommy Malone the win, but hey, don't worry about it. It's all good. If the Mets lose, it's a good day for everyone. And by everyone, I mean myself. so yeah, I think that could certainly be a decent way to go. But yeah, I like the three guys that we mentioned the most, the Bray, Reynolds, and Belt.
Okay.
All right, second baseman. I really don't have a particular favorite, but by all means.
Chris Taylor, maybe. It's going to be at the top of that order, projected to be at the top of that order going up against the lefty. But we've seen it before with God, who's the manager there?
L.A.?
Yes.
Dave Roberts.
There you go. As soon as the lefty's out, then he does a complete hockey shift lineup. Can't quite do it as drastically as he was earlier in the season with Adrian Gonzalez on the DL and stuff, but he does have the options. Brandon Drury had a good game last night.
Yep.
He gets Garrett Cole. Garrett Cole has been okay, I guess, somewhat, a little bit. Joe Panic will be at the top of that lineup.
He's had some good games. Hey, Cole at home is much better than Cole Road.
But he's, exactly. So, There's not a lot. I mean, Robbie Cano obviously had another good game yesterday. I know it came at the expense of your boys, but he still did have a good game.
Okay. This season's over already. Don't worry.
Jonathan Scope is always interesting. He gets AJ Cole in Nationals Park today, and of course Daniel Murphy. I'm not high on the Nationals today. One, because of the weather. Two, because they're facing Dylan Bundy. So, and then of course our boy Rogie Odor. So.
Yeah, I was just trying to take a look at, you know, who some of the dollar per point players are going to be here. Some interesting options. Rogie Odor on there, even though he's facing the lefty. Again, I don't think Richard's going to go too deep into this game, so you could probably get, eight innings out of the – Boy, that'd be a lot. That'd be a real quick start for Richard. Probably get about four – maybe five if you're lucky, innings out of the San Diego bullpen. So Rogie Odor still at $3,000 there, and FanDuel's good. Joe Panik, if he's going to be at the top of the Giants lineup, he's $2,900. Granted, not the greatest hitter's park, but he could find a gap or two, and that could work out well for him. And then the one I'm very interested in is if Daniel Descazzo is going to be in the Diamondbacks starting lineup tonight. Bare minimum $2,000 there on FanDuel. You know, if you're going to go with Cole, it's better to go against him with lefties on the road. So that could be an interesting spot for him. Maybe a pool shot, which wouldn't be too bad.
God, I hope he's not in the lineup just because I mean, I guess. They can put him at other places. They could put him at shortstop.
Right.
You know, and he's second base eligible. But
outfield, even.
Yeah, they could even put him in the outfield. Well, if you put him in the outfield, that takes guys like, you know, AJ Pollock or David Peralta or... You know,
Tomas
out of the lineup.
All right. Maybe second. Maybe we'll just stick him at second.
Then it takes Brandon Drury out of the lineup.
Maybe they'll start.
You know, so I don't mind it if he's in. Obviously, I want to take advantage of it. I think we could definitely take advantage of it, especially with Coors Field on the slate. But, you know, that it does take a lot of more appealing options off the board. That Diamondbacks lineup, or it takes one, not a lot, but it'll take one of those more appealing options off the board if he is in the lineup. So,
all right, fair enough. All right, third baseman. I think you know, we typically don't talk about cores on these things, but it's going to be very hard to get away from Nolan Arenado going up against Ryu tonight.
Yeah, it's he's almost close. The only reason he's not an all-in for me is because I don't go all-in on anybody in baseball. I just don't do it. But I'm not too shy about going back to Jake Lamb as another option as well. I also don't mind Eugenio Suarez maybe against Ty Block. God, FanDuel still hasn't changed Ryan Schimpf to third base. You know, Joey Gallo, even though it's left on left, he's got some interesting options there. Manny Machado is always in play, obviously, and then third base is not as deep as it normally is. And I think a lot of people are going to go to Justin Turner. I will say this. Justin Turner does normally crush the Rockies in Coors Field. But he's not the same Justin Turner that was there last year. He's just not looked right. He's still producing, just not at the rate that he was last year. Now it is Coors Field. It is a lefty. He does like to hit there. That was kind of his breakout a couple years ago, coming up as a platoon player for the Dodgers. But, you know, he's interesting. I will have a couple lineups. I tend to make more lineups when Coors is on the slate than I do with it not, just because I know what Coors can do. And I don't care how much I like Tyler Anderson, especially this year, knowing what he's been like this year, I've got to protect myself and have some exposure to Dodgers tonight. Now, I hope that it falls flat on its face, don't get me wrong, but I've still got to have that exposure.
Justin Turner, by the way, 7-12 career against Tyler Anderson.
See, I haven't even looked at BVP yet. Now that that just pisses me off.
With two doubles, a homer, and a walk against him. So there is that. All right. Let us move along to shortstop. I think speaking of BVP, Carlos Correa has absolutely owned Michael Pineda.
Yep.
Looking at the exact numbers here, he is 5 of 8, 2 doubles, 2 homers against him here. And he's actually been one of the hotter hitters in baseball recently. There was a time this season when he was struggling bad and I wanted absolutely nothing to do with Correa.
He's back, buddy.
I'm over it.
I've been riding the Astros for a while now. And besides that, that game where the Rangers decided to put up all the runs and the Astros didn't, I've been having some success with it. I really do like the way that Correa has been swinging the bat lately. I think he's a really good play. I think Jose Iglesias in a wraparound stack at Detroit going up against J.C. Ramirez is an option.
Right.
Christian Arroyo for the Giants. He's 2.5K, and he's just been absolutely. He's one of the reasons why the Giants won yesterday.
That is true.
And nobody plays him. You've also got Zach Cozart in that same game, going up against Ty Block. I think the Reds and Giants stack, maybe not a game stack, but I think those two stacks are kind of sneaky tonight. And we'll get to it a little bit more. A lot of
strikeouts gonna not be happening in that one.
Yeah, exactly. Chris Owings as well. And then I said it yesterday, I'm gonna go back to it. Jorge Polanco and Eduardo Escobar, I think, are both in play as well.
One guy that we did not mention, Elvis Andrews.
I forgot about him.
Padres are going to do pretty well, then he should be in the midst of that. Going to have the platoon advantage at the beginning versus Rashard. Again, I do not see him going deep into this game, but again, if he doesn't go deep into the game, that's because the Rangers are knocking him around the head sideways. So.
Yeah, we also didn't see Yu Darvish giving up 3 runs in the first inning.
Very true. Very true.
Can we talk about that for a second? Can we talk about the?
Go for it.
Can we talk about, and not just particularly Yu Darvish, even though this is kind of what, brought it about. But the skill of not having preconceived notions. I heard it a lot yesterday on Twitter that Germán Márquez sucks, that he's a horrible pitcher. I've heard a lot of people talk about the Rockies rookies pitchers, which actually if the rookie pitchers hadn't been pitching the way they have, the Rockies would not be one of the best teams in baseball right now. I preface this by saying right now, because I've fallen into this trap multiple years in a row, it seems like. But these rookie pitchers for Colorado, they're not afraid to pitch in Coors Field. Let me just go ahead and point that out. They don't get these preconceived notions that just because a guy has sucked or a guy has had a couple bad outings and they're younger, that they are bad or they're good. We talked about Derek Holland and the way he's been performing lately. Well, we have more of a track record on Derek Holland. That's why I'm not so gung-ho about what he's been doing. Is it a good hot streak? Yes. Is he pitching well? Yes. Could it be something of him getting out of Texas and going to Chicago? Absolutely. But I want to see it more than, the first month and a half of the season as well. 6 weeks does not make a baseball season. They play 162 for a reason. But, where everybody's, exactly. Where everybody's on guys like Dylan Bundy and he's all this and that. And, everybody wants to have preconceived notions. And everybody voices those opinions, which is what this industry is all about. And I'm fine with that. But have a reasoning why. And don't tell me because he's sucked at this point. I mean, Kyle Kendrick yesterday came out and for the most part, he's owned the Brewers. And this is something that I completely forgot. His first start with the Colorado Rockies when they opened up in Miller Park 2015 or 16. He shut him down for seven innings. Besides Ryan Braun, he's had good success in that ballpark over the last couple years. And, you know, this is baseball. Anything can happen on any given day, but formulate your own opinion based on your process, not because of the results that, not because of the game log is what I'm saying, I guess. You know, this is one of the, I use it as a tool. I don't use it to make my decisions. I use it as a, how has he been producing fantasy wise? Is he hotter? Is he colder? You know, I don't use it to say, oh, well, this guy is averaging, you know, 18.2 DraftKings points per game versus this guy that's averaging 13.2. I'm going to take the 18.2. You know, I don't use it that way. If there's guys that if they have a bad game log, you know, they'll get completely off of them. I don't view things that way. And I urge you to not view things that way as well, because you miss out on things that you should have seen, and you draw conclusions without fully looking into things as well. You know, did any of us see Yu Darvish coming out and allowing three runs in the first inning? No. But guess what? It wasn't completely his fault. I mean, you got to give credit to the Padres too. They're major league hitters. Now, they mm-hmm. might suck at times, but they are major league hitters. And they put some good swings on the ball. Yu Darvish still looked good. Six strikeouts, six innings, quality start, no walks. Looked really good. He just made some pitches that they put good swings on. And that happens in baseball. You know, we've seen the complete opposite ends of the spectrum with a guy that we both were on last night pretty heavily. You know, with Francisco Liriano, he's looked like he's the best pitcher in baseball, minus Clayton Kershaw some nights. And then he's looked like he shouldn't even be pitching in Double A Tulsa other nights. So one of the big things that it you've got to do is look past the name. You know, would I be surprised if Phil Hughes and Derek Holland come out and that game is 2-1 in the seventh inning? No. Because they've shown the ability that they can do it. But I'm going to take my – I'm going to play the numbers and say it's not going to be that way. And by playing the numbers over the course of the season, you're going to end up profiting longer or in the long term more than, you know, blowing through your bankroll because you're chasing game logs or you're chasing, you know – I'm not saying don't chase hot streaks, pay attention to them, but I'm also saying don't overlook things just because it's Derek Holland or Phil Hughes or Mike Pelfrey. You know, I think that's where we can get into trouble.
Don't go chasing waterfalls. Please stick to the rivers and the lakes that you're used to.
Yes, we've had now. You realize that now we've had a reference of Chris Rock and TLC in the course of the week on the show, right?
I know my 90s and early in 2000 and all that pop culture. I know it.
There you go. So yeah, it's just it's just a little thing that I get irritated with is when guys, you know. After seven starts in the major leagues, a guy has already his the rest of his career has been determined, according with the DFS community. You know, Germán Márquez has got talent. He was throwing 98 yesterday. He was spotting his curveball. He's got the ability to pitch. You know, and it's one of those things that just because he's a rookie, don't automatically count him out. We made a lot of money, and here's a perfect example. We made a ton of money last year avoiding stacks against Tyler Anderson and pitching Tyler Anderson, whether it was in Coors Field or not.
Yep.
We did the same with John Gray.
Almost made a boatload off Tyler Anderson. If they didn't have to play the sixth inning, I would have made a boatload that game against the Nationals.
Yeah, I mean, and you know a lot of that was one pitch.
Yeah, you know how hotels don't have the 13th floor? Well, you know, what do we really need a sixth inning for, you know? I mean, come on.
Yeah, why do the Cubs pitchers need a first inning?
Yeah.
Have you seen their ERA in the first inning?
Throw out the second and the fifth while we're at it. But, again, I would like
to... Let's just go to the seventh and give everybody give automatically a quality start.
Yeah, why not? Why not? I mean, and again, while we're on the subject, I would like a hotel or an office building. One of you guys just have the balls to put a 13th floor in. When I was in Philly for the draft and I was at the hotel I was at, they didn't have the 13th floor. I want a hotel or an office building. Just have the balls to throw the 13th floor in there. Please.
You know what? I'm pretty close to the hotel industry with my wife and everything.
Right.
You know, I am currently right now texting her to, give me an explanation.
Well, I think it's quite simple, right? Nobody wants to have the unlucky 13th floor.
Right, but there's got to be a reasoning behind why it happens all over the country. And I've heard the tower, the hotel Tower of Terror, whatever hotel that was or anything like that. But I want to know if that's really the reason that they don't do it in the industry. I want to get the industry reasoning behind it instead of just... You know, a room.
That'll work. So. All right. While we're waiting for that explanation, let us talk about some outfielders tonight. Always, you know, that's primarily where the big boppers are coming from, their first base. But what guys are really sticking out for you there?
Adam Duvall is got the highest DFSA grade as far as all outfielders is concerned.
Look at that. Okay.
And then it's followed up by two Yankees in Matt Holliday and Aaron Judge. Both of them this year have over a 500 ISO versus left-handed pitching. Their OB ISO is over 1,000. And these are adjusted based on the quality of pitcher now. So when these guys like this pop off the charts, I mean, you got to pay attention to it a little bit. You know, you've got Josh Reddick, who's been hitting the ball like he's. Josh Reddick just amazingly. He's revitalized his career. He's going up against Michael Pineda. Ben Gamel. My God.
Yes.
Ben Gamel. What in the world? I mean, you want to talk about one of the best, sneakiest offseason pickups in the offseason. This guy. Jeez Louise. I guess they were talking to Nick Swisher, and Swisher said he's got the abilities to be a superstar. And they move him all over. They move him and Taylor Motter all over the lineup. All over the field. Since you had a great game last night, Nelson Cruz is going to be back in the lineup. I mean, outfield is, as it typically is loaded. If we go just to Coors. Charlie Blackman against the lefty, 362 WOBA, 281 ISO, 105 WRC plus for a guy that's going to be, a left on left matchup. He's going to be low owned because of that. And I think it holds a lot of weight. He's the one that gets him started. I mean, we saw what happened when he wasn't in the lineup. The second game against the Cubs, against John Lackey. You know, the lineup went cold. It didn't move. He's the table setter. And he can hit for power. There's a lot of good ones.
We'll talk about a Diamondback outfielder that I really like tonight. Well, it might shock people. They might think I'm talking about David Peralta or Justmani Tomas. No, AJ Pollock.
I love AJ Pollock.
The reasoning behind this is Garrett Cole. Now, again, a lot of this is going to depend on if guys are going to get on base. But one thing I love to pick on with Cole is he has allowed a stolen base success rate of over 80% since 2014. If Pollock can get off and if he can get on the base, he's going to steal second and third. And I've actually seen him do that a couple times. I don't mind even going with Pollock and Goldie. The Diamondbacks are some of the best at doing this. I just want the Diamondbacks, at some point this week, they had 12 stolen bases against left-handed pitching, which is, unheard of. But, again, I know Colby in the right – that just speaks to how much they run. If Pollock can get on base – and, again, we've seen this with the Diamondbacks. They like to run on a lot of double steals. So, maybe if a Pollock and Goldschmidt there together, that's like a free 12 points. So, again – against Cole, against a pitcher like that, is certainly where I would take the chance at. And, I love Pollock above anybody today.
Yeah, and
I don't want to jinx him with the cover photo, but I do like him a lot.
I'm looking at that's player fielding. Let's go here. Let's go to catcher. I'm looking for the caught stealing percentage of the Pirates. And so Francisco Cervelli is only at 17%. He's only caught 5 out of 24. And who's their other catcher that they roll out there? Oh, Elias Diaz is 0-for-2. And then isn't there another guy that they roll out there usually as well? Chris Stewart. He's 2-of-8. So collectively we've got 24 and 8. That's 32 and 2. That's 34. They are a collective 7-of-34. That's under 15%, folks. We have an update on the hotel. It is bad luck, superstition, and the Tower of Terror.
Indeed, indeed. I know my bad luck spots. Yeah. All right, so that's good that we got all that now. Let's see here. I believe Nelson Cruz has a pretty good BVP against Marco Estrada, if I'm not mistaken. I thought I wrote that down. 5-for-10, double homer. Not the most outstanding track record, but still pretty good. Cruz could be interesting. A lot of people are only going to use Cruz against lefties, so this is probably a good opportunity to get him at a low ownership percentage. And look, we've seen a lot of teams scoring runs against the Blue Jays here of late, so that could certainly be an interesting way to go. And then, of course, I liked a lot of these Texas Rangers. No reason to stop now against the lefty. They're probably going to throw Carlos Gomez, Ryan Rua, Delino DeShields out there. DeShields probably going to be batting leadoff tonight. And, him against the lefty. He's only 2,700 on FanDuel, so that's a really good option to go to.
Yeah, I agree. You hit the nail on the head with the Nelson Cruz call, because right on right. Nobody plays him right on right. They all play him left on right because he is such a lefty killer.
Yeah.
They'll skip over him in the stacks with the Mariners, and that's something that I think that we not think that's something I know we can take advantage of.
You want to talk about two. I mean, we already talked about, we just talked about Cruz, but Pollock as well. I really don't see many people being on him at all tonight. But you got to take into account the fact that we got Coors Field on the slate and the fact that, these guys are both going up against righties. Pollock going up against a pretty good pitcher in Cole. But if he can get those stolen bases, he's going to wow you. But these are two guys that, they're both pretty expensive on FanDuel. Like Pollock, not exactly cheap at 4,000. And then Cruz, I believe, is 4,400. But people are just going to automatically go to Coors, and you'll definitely get Cruz and Pollock at a much lower ownership than usual.
Yeah, and Charlie Blackman's 6 of 15 with two extra base hits against Injun Rio. So don't skip out on them just because of, you know, the left on left. He's, and we've talked about it before on the show, he's actually very, very good left on left.
So. Yeah. All right, that'll do it for the outfielders. So I guess to cap it off, any stacks that you like tonight? Or yesterday, the Rays
outside of Colorado,
the team Dodgers that we all talked about that did pretty good. So
yeah, I mean, the Rays were needed to win. Who else was needed to win?
A couple guys on the Dodgers like Bellinger, Grandal, both had good
Bellinger
nights.
Bellinger is just so good.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, he is just he is. Like, have we, and the Dodgers have guys like this that come up, you know? Yasiel Puig did it when he came up, but, you know, you had guys like, you know, the Arizona stack was amazing. Like I said, I had an Arizona and Tampa Bay stack with Steven Strasburg, and if I would have just had Chris Archer over Steven Strasburg, I would have pretty much won the internet. So, or gotten damn close to it. Then you had, you know, like I said, or like we said, you had a couple of the Dodgers pop off. Tampa was a stack to kind of go with last night.
Real quick, just with the Dodgers, Yasmani Grandal had a very un-Grandal last night with getting multiple hits, and you know, usually he's the homer or bust guy, but solid putting the ball in play last night, dude.
Yep. I like the Minnesota Twins, obviously. If we talked about we talked about attacking Derek Holland, you know, even though he's a hot pitcher. I'm interested to see exactly how much people are off of him because of it, because of the kind of the hot streak that he's been on. It's going to be very interesting. I'm going to have to do some looking to find that out. But, you know, it could be something that we could get at a lower ownership. Okay. Just because of how hot he has been. I think you can go back to the Diamondbacks tonight, depending on what lineup they put out. I mean, I think the Mariners are good. Like I said, those three guys for the Yankees, Judge, Sanchez, and Holiday, I think are in play against Keuchel.
You didn't even mention Judge. What is wrong with us?
I've mentioned him a couple times. Maybe not specifically with the outfielders, but I have mentioned them a couple times. And I think they're going to be lower owned than they normally are because it's Dallas Keuchel, because he carries that name cachet. But I really do like, not as far as a game stack, but I really feel like one of these offenses in San Francisco is going to go off tonight.
You got an 8 total there tonight, so that's a little different than usual.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of why I was feeling that. When you got an 8 total, I mean, the Giants are projected over 4 runs, and I don't normally pay attention to the team implied totals, just because I think they're garbage, because I think Vegas is bad about it. But when you've got an 8 total there, you know, it's really kind of something to kind of look at. This is a guy that we haven't talked a lot about, this guy and, you know, his abilities and what he's done and everything, but it's a thing that we really, really do pay attention to. And we have, left-handed starters have a 2.59 ERA against the Padres, since last season. Mm. Martin Perez is a guy that we don't go out of our way to pick on when he's pitching in Texas. For whatever reason, he just seems to pitch better there. I think we've talked about it before, but do we keep just blindly? I know they kind of got to you, Darvish, a little bit, prevented him from getting the win. They didn't strike out as much as they normally do, but do we go back to, just blindly picking on the Padres, Or do we say, okay, Martin Perez, you're about as close to a gas can as we're willing to pick on or use Padres against? Like, which way are we leaning on that front?
I mean, if I'm not mistaken, I thought Perez had pretty good home numbers, which was ridiculously surprising. So, yeah, that might not be a bad way to go. I mean, and again, especially since people had Darvish last night and, you know, he did end up getting blown up with three runs. I mean, I could certainly see people being even more scared than they would to go there. So I would lean in the direction of, picking on Padres. The one thing
to give you an idea, he had a 3.24 ERA at home in 108 innings pitched last season. It's not that it's about half a run higher at 3.91 in only 23 innings. And I know it's a small sample size, but at home in the course of his career, and I couldn't tell you if he's always been with the Rangers or not.
I believe so.
He's only had, if he pitches at least 50 innings,
mm-hmm.
his ERA has been right around that 3.3 spot. He's got a career 3.75 ERA at home.
Mm. All right. That'll work. I got to tell you, I have expensive taste with the bats tonight, so I might have to be looking for another value pitcher, but
I mean, that's compared to a 4.85 on the road.
Yeah.
So he is a different pitcher. As we like to say, he likes his own bed. so I might have a little bit of Padres exposure, but I'm not going to have a lot. I'm more apt to have more. I'm more apt to have Martin Perez in my lineups than I am. I'll have more exposure to Martin Perez than I will Padres.
I will say, though, and for whatever it's worth, the besides Arizona, the temperature in Texas tonight is probably going to be it will be the hottest among like pretty much any other slate now. Any other venue today, for a game. So got to take that into account. And then, of course, I mean, you look at some of these other temperatures around the league today, like, and I'm even in Jersey today, it is freaking cold as hell. You got like 50, mid 50s in San Francisco. LA's got a, low 60s, but other cities, let's see here, like Chicago is going to be mid 50s. Blue Jays are going to have the dome. Yankees, hell, around here, mid 50s. Nationals even going to be in the low 50s tonight. A little bit of a rain threat there as well.
And the humidity is getting higher. And the dew point is going to be around 60% in Texas.
More something to look at. But again, I really like Rangers bats in that one. But hey, that's where I'm thinking. All right. And then another stack. I know, Pineda has the highest DFSA grade of any pitcher today. I know that we have a 7 total in that game, which is kind of wacky for a Yankee Stadium game. But Astros could be kind of sneaky here as well. Of course, mentioned Correa with the good BVP history and how hot he's been rolling. I really like him a lot tonight. And then even Evan Gattis has a nice BVP history. Brian McCann, remember going back to Yankees, he played there for a while. Carlos Beltran also going back there. So, you got a couple interesting Astros bats. I like them as my sneaky stack of the day.
Yeah, and the wind, it's not hard. Like, it's not really, 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 like, drastic. But the wind is blowing out from right field at 8 miles an hour. So I wonder if that wind swirls. I've been meaning to do this for a while, and today might be a good day to do it, is trying to find, the jet streams
mm-hmm.
and the wind, how the wind affects the jet streams in these ballparks. If I can find that, I will post it to my channel in Slack. So,
All right, folks, that'll do it for today's podcast. And once again, you want to follow us on Twitter. I'm at 14a.walsh, Keith at Boomers DFS Daddy. Follow the DFS Army as well at DFS Army. And don't be shy about trying to sign up with us. DFSArmy.com. Use the promo code podcast if you're going to go with one of the monthly or the yearly subscription. So, do so, and we'll see you in the Slack chat, folks. For me and Keith, we gone. We'll be back tomorrow. Peace.
Peace out.